You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is 98.7 ESPN, a Good Karma Brands radio station. WEPN-FM, New York.
Michael K is on the radio today, and he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking.
It's the Michael K Show.
Michael K is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is March 8th. It's 2024. It's a gorgeous day. The NHL trade deadline has just happened. 3 o'clock Eastern time. And the Rangers, right before the deadline, made a deal. Before that, they'd made another minor deal for a defenseman. Don, before we even get into the guts of the show, let's break down what the Rangers did and what you think.
Well, clearly the Rangers are not looking to mortgage their future. I mean, they could have went out and got Adam Henrique and Vetrano for Kako on a first-round pick. Drury didn't want to do it. They could have been in on the Jake Guentzel deal, gave up a lot of young prospects in that deal. They didn't want to go there. So, and I'm cool with that. I think this team has a chance to win the Stanley Cup, but they're not Florida where they could be all in this year at the expense of the future. Drury wants to make sure they can go forward here, add some depth, but still be able to hold on to prospects, hold on to their picks, and they've decided to do that. If you don't like that, well, then I don't know what to tell you, but clearly that is the plan. So what they did, they go out and get Jake Roslovic, a center, can play wing, add depth there. And you add that to the Wenberg deal they made a couple of days ago. They've added two guys that can play center to their lineup. You build up the middle in the NHL, and both those guys had more goals than Gaudreau and Brodzinski combined. So they've added a little offense there. You get Chad Ruedel. That obviously helps from a depth standpoint on the blue line because you need defensemen in the playoffs, and you'd rather play Ruedel than maybe Zach Jones if somebody got hurt. Already there's a possibility Trouba's not going to play tomorrow. So they needed an extra defenseman. They went out and got that. So clearly by what they did and didn't do, they wanted to add depth but not come at the expense of the future. Roslovic, Michael, is going to be a fourth-round pick that can turn into a third-round pick if they make the Stanley Cup final. That's nothing. All right, that's not giving up anything. So I like what they did. Listen, Guentzel going to Carolina strengthens Carolina. For sure. You look at the Eastern Conference, Florida's just adding everybody. They added Tarasenko. They added Oposo. I mean, they're obviously going for it this year. But I like what Drury did. It's not sexy, but it's some nice depth. Doesn't come at the expense of the future. And now the deadline's over. We'll see if anything else trickles down. Tomas Hertl goes to Vegas. That just happened, too. And we'll see how it all plans out. But overall, I like what they did and they didn't do at the deadline.
All right, so let me push back just a bit.
Okay.
So they're not all in. They don't want to sacrifice their future. And it kind of falls back on what Brian Cashman told us many years ago. I don't want to win a championship. I want to win championships. Right. They have a chance this year.
Sure.
So, I mean, what they haven't won in 30 years. They haven't won a Stanley Cup since 1994. What are you waiting for?
Well, but
you have a chance.
But it comes you. But you still have a chance now.
But your chance would be better, right?
Well,
if you had a Guentzel.
Well, it would be better. But it would also come at a lot of, you know, good young prospects, and you mortgage the future. You know, people don't think about it because they finally slayed the dragon. But a lot of what the Rangers did, adding all those pieces in 94, you know, came at the expense of why they never won again.
Okay, but they won.
They're all in.
But you still might not win.
This
year you have a legitimate chance to win.
But here's the thing. You also are no guarantee that if you go out and get Vetrano and Henrique and Guentzel and all that you're going to win this year.
I get it, but there's no guarantee of the future either. These kids helping you win a Stanley Cup.
But you still like your team.
Right.
And you've added a little depth to your team, and you put yourself in a situation where, hey, I've got just as good a chance next year and the the year after. I mean, so I think it's smart. It wasn't like they didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. They build some needs, but they also like the young players that they have. They get to keep them. They get to keep their draft picks and continue to build moving forward. And they still have a legitimate chance to win. I mean, Florida, I think Florida's better than the New York Rangers. I think they're closer. And I don't think that would have changed had the Rangers made those deals, right? Florida, they've never won a Stanley Cup, non-traditional hockey market. They're looking to fill the building. They're all going in. They're all in on this year. And we'll see if it works out for them. But it certainly can come at the expense of the future, which Drury isn't willing to do. And I get what you're saying. They haven't won in 30 years. But with nothing guaranteed in this sport, where you see Boston break records last year, still get bounced in the first round, I think you've got enough here to feel like you can make a run, and it didn't come at the expense of you having just as much a chance, if not better, next year and the year after, when some of these good young players like Othman, like Perreault, start to grow. What do all fans want, Michael? Even Yankee fan, you want kids to play. You want to be able to grow for the future. But have guys that can be the next Aaron Judge, the guys that can be the next Brian Leetch. Well, that comes from sometimes not making the deal.
But here's my, and I know what you're saying, and I certainly understand it. And they're not punting on this season. But they certainly punted on making it closer to reality that they could compete with the Panthers and the Hurricanes. They punted on that because they could have gotten better. That first line right wing they still need. My point is, and I have the same problem with the New York Mets. You can't always say future, future, future. We don't know what's going to happen in the future anyway. Well, now we know that the Rangers have a legitimately good team that has a chance to win a Stanley Cup. And if they had mortgaged some of the future, Don, their chances would be a little better.
Well, so a little better, and then if it doesn't happen, Henrique and Vetrano are gone, or in the case of Gensel, he's a free agent that you might not be able to re-sign. You know, so you're giving up all these guys for the one run, and then they end up walking. You get bounced earlier. You don't win the Stanley Cup, and now what you're left
with? But you shot.
Here's the difference with the Mets. The Mets are probably not competing for a Stanley Cup. The New York Rangers are in first place in their division. The Rangers are only 6 points away from winning the President's Trophy.
I know,
this
but
is not a bad team.
I listen intently when you talk hockey. Okay, it's like you're like my professor, and I can hear it in your voice every time. They're a little short.
Yeah.
They're a little short. So they could have made that distance away from being less short if they made one of those deals. Hey, listen, it might be the right move. I'm no hockey savant. I'm just saying, when you're this close and you're 6 points away from the best record in the NHL, why not go for it? Why not sacrifice a little of the future for the present? The present is right now. Well, the future, we have no idea what's going to happen.
I don't know if a little of the future is Kaapo Kakko on a first-round pick. And then what will the fans do? How will they scream if he ends up becoming like what JT Miller became? This is a guy that you drafted
second overall.
Well,
they would
scream
if you don't win this year.
But you
got to shoot your shot.
Right, yeah, you'll sit there and go, okay, I'm disappointed they didn't win this year, but boy, look at what we have coming up, and we could be just as good next year and get another try at it.
I bet, you know what? Again, we want to talk about the Russell Wilson stuff. I bet you most Ranger fans are not thrilled right now.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, are these moves sexy? Are they going to blow you? You know what was sexy last year, guys? You know what was sexy?
Patrick Kane
and Vladimir Tarasenko. What happened? Then you get bounced in the first round. And what happened to those guys? They're not on the team anymore. And then all Ranger fans are screaming for them to reacquire Tarasenko this year. Like, so fans are going to live in the now. I get it. I'm not mad at them for it. But I think sometimes you got to pump the brakes on saying, how much are we willing to mortgage the future to try to go for it now, especially in this sport? Like I said, Florida to me is the best team in the National Hockey League, hands down. Would anybody be floored if they got knocked out in the first round?
But that's the nature of hockey. But so last
exactly.
year they went to the Stanley Cup Finals, still not satisfied.
So give me a chance to have multiple opportunities to win that cup. See, that's the danger of putting it all in on 1 year, and then, all right, that was it. Now we got to retool. Now we got to go try to find more prospects, and now we've got all these older players under contract. We can't move, and then you're stuck, and then the fans scream that they're not a playoff team anymore. So isn't it better to maybe get 3-4 kicks at the can than putting it all into one season and then possibly still coming up short? Because even if they made the deal with the Ducks, I still think Florida's better. I still think those teams in the West could be better, so you're not even guaranteed to win. And, you know, listen, Jake Gensel's a nice player, but he's a rental. He would make them better, but would he make them better than Florida? Make them better than the teams out West if they made it to the Stanley Cup Final?
But they're not better than Florida right now. right? They're not better than Florida now.
I don't believe so. But, you know, they played them twice, essentially lost to them by one goal. And Florida retooled. Good credit on them. I mean, they've been building this for a long time, and they've put it together. They got an outstanding coach, and they're going for it right now. And maybe next year, if the Rangers fall short this year, they'll reevaluate and figure, okay, when Zibanejad and Kreider are a little older, and Shesterkin's in his walk year, let's go all in now. You know, but they still believe they've got a team that could be just as competitive next year and the year after that. That's why they gave Peter Laviolette a 3-year contract. We've got a 3-year window to get this done. So why damage the other two by trying to be all in this year when they still can win a Stanley Cup, Michael? I mean, I wouldn't necessarily bet on it, considering the path that they're going to have to go.
Right,
but they're in first place in their division.
I get it.
This is not the Mets. The Mets would be lucky if they can compete for a wild card. This is a team that is presently constituted could very well be the 2 seed in the East and the first place team in the Metropolitan Division.
But what you want to do in any kind of sport, and I'm not a big fan, maybe because I'm an older. I don't like kicking the can down the road. I just don't. You got to strike when the iron is hot. I'm going to use every little cliche that I could have here. And if you think that you can make a deal that makes you the odds a little better, you're right. There are no sure things, Don. You could get Sidney Crosby, and you would not have been able to say, okay, they're a sure thing. But you make the odds better. They didn't make their odds that much better with the moves they made, and they've got a really good team.
But they made them better. I mean, right now, realistically, what you're trying to do is make sure you win this division. And they've got a 4-point lead in the division. They got a big game coming up against Carolina on Tuesday. You know, that's got to be the focus. Win this division, and then you'll see how things break down. We're talking about taking on a Florida Panther team, Michael, if they face them in the conference final. You know, they did make the conference final 2 years ago, but that's not something that happens every day.
Right.
And then you put yourself in that position to possibly go out there and win. They've improved themselves, but you can't just throw away the fact that they've also put themselves in a situation where next year and the year after, they can be just in as good a position to win the Stanley Cup. I think there's value in that, too. Now I got 3 legitimate chances to win the Stanley Cup instead of 1 little bit better chance in 1 year, and then maybe not as good the next 2 years.
Yeah, but Don, if you made these deals that we're talking about, right, we're batting back and forth, that doesn't eliminate next year and the year after. You don't completely take your knees out on the next good year. They didn't trade their whole future.
Well, no, but if you're telling me that they are competing for a Stanley Cup of guys that are going to walk as free agents, now they're gone.
You can keep them. You can keep them.
But you've got cap situations, too. What happens if Filipino comes back? Now you don't have the cap space. They went out and got Kopp and Vetrano when they made the run to the conference final. Lost them both to free agency because of the cap. You know, they lost Kane and Tarasenko last year. Usually when you get these rentals, there's no guarantee you're going to be able to keep them. And if you keep them, it certainly can come at the expense of other players on your team to fit them under the cap. There's a plan here. You may disagree with the plan. Some fans may disagree with it. But I like what Chris Drury is doing here.
All right, we're going to take a deep dive into Russell Wilson meeting with the Giants. But let's hear from Ranger fans because, you know, people that we respect that love the game. You know, I see a full board right here in front of me, and none of them seem to be thrilled. So let's go to a guy that we respect. He's listened to us forever. Bruce in Flushing. Bruce, what do you think?
I respectfully totally disagree with Don on 2 different fronts. It seems to me that Drury was big game hunting, and it blew up in his face. You could have got Tarasenko, because I think when the team traded him for him, gave up a 2nd and a 4th. That's easily doable. And
it didn't even fit last year, Bruce.
Oh, how can you say that, Don?
It didn't fit last year.
Don.
Did it work last year, Bruce?
Yes, he was one of the best players on the team. How can you even say that?
But they still got bounced in the first round, then he walked in free agent. I like him. Yep. He's a plus player. He's got the second best plus minus on the Ottawa Senators. He's a nice player. But there's, again, no guarantee. You had him last year, and he played well, and it still didn't work out.
Well, that's because of the other teammates, not him. And he would have fit on the first line, and he works well with that first line. Secondly, Bogdanovich, the kid we traded to St. Louis, if you trade him, you have him for next year. And if I had to give Brandon Ottman for him, fine. People, Don, you of all people know, we traded Tony Amonte for probably, I think it was Steve Ballmer in that deal.
Right.
So we lost him for 10 years, but we got the cup. As Michael would say, that's more important than being a contender for 10 years. Okay, so sometimes you have to give the future to win the cup.
Well, that's where we disagree. I mean, you were willing to sacrifice the future to go on a cup run. And the Rangers did it in 94, and they mortgaged the future to be able to get Tekin in and Noonan and McTavish, and they made it all work, and they won a Stanley Cup. And then, you know, Tony Amonte becomes a star in Chicago. And now the Rangers go 30 years without a cup. And by the way, went 8 years without even making the playoffs. So it does come at about a price, Michael. Now, they had the Slated Dragon in 94, Mark Messier, the whole thing. Is that what this is now?
But
I know it's
Don,
been 30 years, but is that what this is now?
We're getting close to 1941 chance again, aren't we?
But it wasn't an older Mark Messier. It wasn't a team that missed the playoffs the year before after winning the President's Trophy the year before that. I think the circumstances were a little bit different. It was 54 years, and now I think that they feel like they've built something to be able to move forward. If you want to be in on all this year, I mean, then that's your opinion, and we agree to disagree on that. But I do see the value of saying, hey, we're in. We made some improvements. We didn't do anything overly sexy, but boy, we didn't jeopardize our future either. And we've got an excellent chance over the next couple of years to do the same thing.
Let's go to Nick in Ocean Grove. Nick.
Hey, Don. Hey, guys. What's going on? I just wanted to ask Don, I understand all of your points, right? But at what point do you go for it? Because you have your rival in division, Carolina. They're going for it, right?
They
so,
seem to.
And, they've
been at this a long time, man. I mean, Carolina's been banging on the door much longer than the Rangers have.
Yeah,
Carolina's been a good team now for like five, 6 years, and they haven't been able to get over the hump.
Well, this season, they're able to stay in first place all year with pretty much only two lines. When are you going to get that opportunity of when this team is just so overperforming to that point? I just want to ask when you think that time is to go for it, because when is Mika going to start to fall? When's Kreider going to start to fall? Panarin is still on the way up. When's that going to stop?
Well, I don't think it's going to stop in the next couple of years. These guys are under contract. Listen, Zibanejad struggled 5-on-5, but we do believe that his window is closing. But by next year, the year after, Kreider's still relatively young. You said Panarin's on his way up. Lafreniere looks like he's playing better. They obviously kept Kako, so they believe that he is going to be a better player. You're very young on defense. Your oldest player is Jacob Trouba on D. If you decide to keep Igor Shesterkin, which I think they will, he's still a young player. I don't see a team that needs to absolutely positively win now. Carolina, Anthony, what has it been, 5-6 years they've been banging on the door and haven't been able to get over the hump? You know, so I understand the fans' frustration. But you say, if not now, when? Well, why do you believe that next year can't be good? Does this look like a team that's fallen apart, or they're in first place? They've had their struggles, but they're still in first place.
Well, here's the guy who agrees with you, Don, Mark, and Syosset. What's up, Mark?
Good afternoon, guys. Yeah, Don, I do agree with you. I think the Rangers made moves to get better. Picking up Wennberg gave them a solid third-line center who will make that line more powerful. They picked up a wing/center in Roslovic who will play alongside and replace Blake Wheel and play with Zibanejad and Kreider. And we have firepower. We have very talented players on the back line with Fox and Trouba. And if Shesterkin plays up to his potential, this team can make a run. Are they guaranteed? No, no one is. But did we improve? We did. The problem is the fans are looking at what the other teams did and are looking at it like going, oh, well, they got much better than we did. But we still have a great team, and we're still going to be competitive in the playoffs.
Well, let's see if Carolina figures out their goaltending. Otherwise, they're going to go out early. You know, so they're all in, but they still should be nervous about whether they've got the goaltending to be able to do it. It's not sexy. I understand Roslovic and Wennberg and Ruedel. They're not sexy moves, but let's not make it seem like they didn't do anything.
Let's go to Dan in New Jersey. Dan.
Hey, Michael, Donnie.
What's going on?
What's up?
So,
hey, buddy.
I think this Rangers deadline is very much like what the Yankees did in 2019, where the Yankees had one of the best offenses in the MLB and still needed that starting pitcher. And they're competing with the Astros. Well, what do the Astros do? They go out and they get Granke. What does Florida do? They go out and they get Tarasenko. What does Carolina do? They go out and get Gensel. What do the Rangers do? more subliminal moves, not to put them over the top because they're holding on to prospects. Like, Kaapo Kakko isn't that great of a player. He kind of reminds me of Davey Garcia. Where's Davey Garcia right now? Chicago White Sox. So the guys that the Yankees weren't willing to move on, it ended up biting them in the butt. It might be the same case with the Rangers.
It might be.
When you have a team that's good enough to win, you have to go all in.
Hey, but it's not like Kaapo Kakko can't become, you know, you gave rid of JT Miller. Now look, he's a star in Vancouver. Right, so you don't do these things in a vacuum. Sometimes, if they obviously believe in Kaapo Kakko, and if Chris Drury is proven wrong, you know, then he'll be proven wrong that Kakko ends up being just a pedestrian player. But maybe Kakko's about to pop. I mean, he was hurt earlier this year. He's played better since he's come back. He was the second overall pick in the draft. You're starting to see Lafreniere find his legs. What if Kakko finds his legs? Now you got a really inexpensive player that might turn out to be a star. I mean, I get both. At least you could see, Michael, there's two sides to this. Listen, I mean, there's no right or wrong answer until we find out what happens.
I've seen it with the Yankees. People fall in love with their prospects. And as we always say about every sport, most prospects don't make it.
But he's not a prospect. He's played. And he's played well. He just has to be able to find a way to stay healthy.
Othman?
Oh, well, no, Othman and Perome, just prospects. You're right. I think you're talking about Kakko, sure.
Well, Kakko is not – well, Kakko would be what if we compare it to a baseball player? Maybe Davey Garcia.
Yeah.
So
maybe he turns out to be JT Miller.
Right.
You wouldn't want JT Miller right now in the New York Rangers?
I get it. Now the Rangers have to be sure that they think that Kakko is going to be JT Miller. That's why I've always said the most important scouting that a team does, scouting their own people. Do they really? They're inside. They must love this guy to not move him to make themselves a lot better. And they're good right now, but a lot closer to a sure thing. And there are no sure things, but a lot closer to one.
I believe if I were the general manager, I would have made that deal with the Ducks. I would have given up Kakko in a first round pick. This is not expected to be a very strong draft this year, and the first round pick is obviously going to be late in the first round. And I think it'd be worth it to gamble on Kakko. To bring in, you know, two legit scorers in Henrique and Vetrano. That's your center, that's your right winger. Both have played big games in the postseason. I would have done it. So I'm not mad at these people for believing that. But I'm not going to get mad at Chris Drury if he believes in Kakko more than I do. And he obviously has a more intimate knowledge of the draft than I do. But from what I was told, not a strong draft. And I think Kakko can be a nice player. I don't think he's going to be a star. If Chris Drury believes he's going to be a star and believes that first round pick is worth something, then more power to him.
Let's go to Sal in Soho. Sally.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
I have to tell you that when the Rangers are making these moves, I disagree with you a little bit. You're a great guy. You're a great announcer. Love the show. Michael is on point. I agree with Michael 100%. When you're getting these guys like Gensel or Tarasenko, you got to look at the system that they're developing. Florida's being like offensive. They're going, they're mortgaging. The Rangers could have mortgaged more guys and got Crosby and Gensel. They could have done all
this. We don't know if Crosby didn't get dealt.
He didn't get dealt, but he could have. You know how hockey works, Don. You work in hockey.
True.
You know there's backdoor moves that happen, and you know there's plays that they could maneuver around and say, hey, listen, we'll do this, we'll do that. You don't agree that they could have leveraged a few of these guys, you know, with coaching changes are not much. This is an analytic game today. What real moves have they made in the past 2 years?
I don't think it has anything necessarily to do with not liking Jake Gensel. It's the fact that he's a free agent, and the likelihood of signing him is almost nil. So you're renting him and giving up your future to do it. Now, if you win the cup and the fans don't care, great. You know, they went out and got Wenberg. Now, Wenberg is not sexy. I get it. He's a really nice player. But guess what, Michael? He's making almost nothing, and he's under contract next year. So in a cap sport, if he ends up playing well, he can end up being a bargain that's under contract for you next year. Now, Roslovic is a free agent. Ruedel are free agents, so they're probably going to walk. But, you know, Wenberg's not sexy, but in a salary cap world, then a guy that I can get for less than $900 a year who might contribute to me making a run, boy, is that going to look sexy next year when I have him on the cheap. So why does everybody skew negative? Why don't you skew positive and realize, hey, we still have a chance here. Everybody, Sidney Crosby. I always hate that, Michael, even in baseball. Why didn't they get Sidney Crosby? Well, you'd have a legitimate argument if Sidney Crosby was on the Carolina Hurricanes right now.
Right, he didn't
now.
Get traded.
Or if he was
right.
on the Colorado Avalanche. He didn't get dealt.
Now, there are some rumors. A friend of mine who's in hockey said there's a big rumor that the Rangers were not really allowed to trade their first-round pick because next year's draft is at the Sphere, which is owned by James Dolan, and that he wanted the Rangers to have a pick. I don't know if that's true or not. I just throw it out there for fun.
It's been debunked. But let's just say, for sake of argument, that that's true.
Okay.
How ridiculous is that? I mean, who's watching the NHL draft? Well, because it's in Vegas at the Sphere?
Well, the Sphere's owned by Dolan.
I understand that, but what pop would he get? If you hope this is going to be a good season, what, the 29th pick in the draft? Like, what does that do for you?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I'm just saying.
If you're going to go to Vegas for the draft, you're going to be sitting there 3 hours to see the pick. And if you're going to be watching it on television, you should get your head examined. I mean, I can't. That to me is such an easy rumor, Michael. But because it's Jim Dolan, it sounds like it could be true. But just think about the logic. Does that have any logic that because the draft is at the Sphere in Vegas, that the Rangers want to have a first round pick that's probably going to be in the late 20s?
It doesn't. It doesn't seem rational, but a lot of decisions are not rational.
It's been debunked since then, and I'm
who debunked
it?
Did Jim Dolan debunk it?
Well,
who debunked it?
No, but who started it?
It's who debunked it? Who,
so
you're saying it got debunked by who? Who debunked it?
I guess the same people that created the rumor. I was told that it's not true. Well, if the Rangers say it's not true, you're not going to believe it because it's the Rangers, right? Why would the Rangers confirm something as idiotic as that?
Right. That's true.
Now I don't believe. If you want to say you don't believe the debunk, well, then don't believe the rumor. It's all garbage. I mean, but just why can't we use logic? Does that make any sense to you?
No.
Now, if it was going to be a first round, like if they're out of the playoffs and there's a chance they can win the lottery and have the first pick overall, then I can kind of see the pop.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Don, you wanted to correct something?
Yeah, Wenberg is a free agent at the end of the year, where I got confused looking at the different cap sheets. In Columbus, he's under contract, getting paid another almost $900,000 next year because Drury was able to get Columbus to pick up 50% of his salary. So he is a free agent at the end of the year, but the Rangers were able to get him a lot cheaper because Columbus picked up half of the salary, which will count towards their cap next year. So I ended up looking at the wrong thing. So I just wanted to get that corrected. I apologize.
All right. Now, speaking of free agents, Russell Wilson will be a free agent as of next week, but the Broncos are allowing him to meet with teams. He's certainly taking advantage of that. He's met with the Steelers, and we find out that he did meet with the New York Giants. He's going on to meet with the Las Vegas Raiders as well. What this tells me, now, no matter how this plays out, guys, I wonder if you agree with me. Rich Eisen's report was spot on. Daniel Jones is done. He's done. Now, it could be done before this year. It could be done definitely at the end of the season. But the fact that they're sniffing around Russell Wilson tells me that Daniel Jones is done. They have no plan for him in the future. So if they want Russell Wilson to come in and play this year, that is to get a quarterback in this year's draft to play behind Russell Wilson. And there's one thing that we haven't mentioned, guys. The Giants are out from under the obligation to Daniel Jones at the end of this year, but only if he's healthy. If he gets hurt, they're liable for more money. So part of year three and four kick in if, God forbid, he suffers another neck injury. So if you play Daniel Jones, you are potentially on the hook for money that right now you're not on the hook for if he is indeed done after the 24-25 season. I think the Giants would love to get Russell Wilson because he's cheaper than any backup you're going to get, and he could start because all you've got to pay him is $1.2 million, the minimum wage.
Yeah, because now it's just now you're just betting, right? You're gambling. All right, let's say he plays. What are the chances are he plays at a level where I will accept the final 2 years of the contract? And so you put an odds on it. I don't know, what would the odds be, 30%, 40%, that he impresses you in 2024 where you're not going to mind paying him $80 million over the next 2 years? Oh, and then what's the chances that if he plays while you're auditioning him for those final 2 years, he ends up getting hurt and now you're stuck?
Right.
Percentages are probably higher, right? No offense to Daniel Jones, but you look at the history, I think there's a better chance he gets hurt in 2024 than impresses to where I want to keep him for two more years. So the smart thing, I guess, to do under those circumstances is you eat the $40 million, have him be your backup, and bring somebody in to be your starting quarterback. And then you could be free of him at the end of the year.
It makes a lot of sense because he could play the role of Kurt Warner with Eli Manning. And it buys Brian Daboll and Joe Shane some time because let's say you play him the entire year. You have a chance to win. You have not to win a Super Bowl. You have a chance to win nine games. He's a good quarterback. He might be a pain in the rear, but he is a good quarterback.
But I wasn't around on the radio here for the Kurt Warner-Eli relationship.
Right.
Did Kurt play a mentor role also to Eli?
I don't think it wasn't like your typical mentor. It's a good question, Peter, because Kurt Warner didn't think he was done, and he was right because he goes on to go to a Super Bowl with the Cardinals after that. But just being in the same room as Kurt Warner, a veteran quarterback who was went to a Super Bowl with the Rams, that served as somewhat of a mentor to Eli. I don't think he was holding his hand, but if you're around greatness, it's going to rub off.
But what I'm asking is, I asked the question because do we know that Russell Wilson, as good as he was at his best, based on the way teams are treating him now, is he a guy you even want in the room with your future quarterback?
I thought about that. I thought you'd ask that. Well, how about the fact that Geno Smith learned something from him sitting there for 2 years?
Yeah.
Was that where he learned it, though, or was it just playing on the Seahawks?
He certainly didn't learn it with the Jets.
He did not.
So he sat behind Russell Wilson. He was terrible with the Jets. He went to Seattle, sat behind Russell Wilson a couple of years. When he finally got his chance, he was a good quarterback.
It could have just been, watching Eli, Wilson. I mean, listen, do I think you have to be a good mentor? Just play. And then there, I can watch you play. The problem is he too much of a nozzle in the room to kind of ruin it? But you talk about eating $40 million for a backup quarterback. You could do that if you've got your starting quarterback
on the league. Exactly. All of a sudden, that's your quarterback. It doesn't matter how you split the money.
Right, because you're allotting X amount of money for my quarterback room. It just so happens that my backup's making the most. Now, if I
most quarterbacks now, Don, great quarterbacks are making 50. So the Giants would actually be under the number.
Right, but if I go out and get Kirk Cousins, say, and I got to pay him, 40, 50, now you got $90 million relegated to your quarterback position. Now you're dead. That's not going to happen. That's why it would only be attractive. It actually, even if he ends up being a nozzle at the end of the day, I still think it's worth it because you still will get better at least feel better about your quarterback position this year than the potential of Daniel Jones getting hurt again and then you're stuck.
And you could spin it this way, guys. They're going to battle it out. Now, I the way I feel about Daniel Jones, no offense, if you let Russell Wilson and Daniel Jones battle it out, Russell Wilson's going to win that job. He's just a better quarterback. So then you use one of your picks at one point to pick a quarterback and let that young man, whether it be J.J. McCarthy, whether it be Knicks, or whether it be whoever they decide, whoever falls to them, they get in the second round, they sit and watch. They sit and watch. It's a perfect situation. It's what Jordan Love did behind Aaron Rodgers. It's what Patrick Mahomes did behind Alex Smith. Because I don't think any of the quarterbacks other than Caleb Williams and the top three, I think everybody else is going to, it's going to have to learn. I don't think Caleb Williams has to sit behind somebody. You throw him into the final and let him play.
Yeah, some guy, but you saw how much it would have valued Zach Wilson if he got to watch for a year instead of getting thrown to the Wolves.
Right.
Some guys, it makes sense. Some guys, it doesn't make sense. And now you, but I don't think you can hurt him. Let's say there's a quarterback that would actually play pretty well in his first year. We think it would hurt him if he watched for 1 year just to see what it's like in the NFL and then finally get the chance. It obviously worked for Mahomes. Played, what, that last game of his rookie year, and now he's one of the great quarterbacks of all time. So it makes sense to kick the tires. Now he's also going to go to Vegas. He's talking with Pittsburgh. But, boy, this would be interesting if the Giants can make it happen.
I'll just say this. You better be confident in your head coach and confident in the culture you have on the team, because the Russell Wilson of the last couple of years feels like he could be the kind of dude that is not necessarily great for a locker room. So,
well, maybe you're not a coach, but you think for a locker room?
I don't know. I mean, no one seems to want this guy who's clearly talented. Every story you hear from players is not great. Denver started off last year in complete shambles. Now, they ended up having a half-decent year. Again, this is why I said all the more reason I'd be curious to talk to a reporter in Denver on what the feeling was like from him throughout the season. Because I just think that's important. When you're building a team, culture is an important piece of it. And we really don't know what he affected that room like last year.
But you can kind of guess, right, where he had his own office there.
No, not he did with
Denver.
But not with Sean Payton.
Payton got there.
Right, yeah. but that
with Hackett
laid,
he did.
That kind of laid the foundation for how maybe his teammates felt about him. And then it causes friction when he comes in there and then takes it away. Now he's embarrassed, right? Now he's going to be playing for league minimum, trying to build up his cred. So I would think he'd be on his best behavior. And it's not like the Giants are going to be competing for a Super Bowl. They're just trying to get through this year until they can figure out what happens with Daniel Jones' contract and hopefully a quarterback that they draft to be ready to take over in 2025.
Go ahead. I was going to say,
and for the money, is it that big of a risk?
No, it's no risk. The only thing that would be a deal breaker for me, I think that why he's meeting with all these teams, he's looking for a team to give him money in the second year. You know, so if you have to give him a second year at something, if I'm the Giants, I go, I'm good, I'm out. But if it's simply $1.2 million, as Don said, that means you're not killing your cap with a quarterback at $40 million that's not playing. Daniel Jones is essentially a $40 million backup, and God forbid anything happened to him, then Tommy DeVito's going to end up getting squeezed out, because if they draft a quarterback, Tommy DeVito's out. Although, another aspect of this too, guys, they could trade Daniel Jones. If they're willing to eat some money, they could trade Daniel Jones. Maybe there's a team out there that likes what they see, that wants to take a gamble on him.
Never know.
The Giants eat $30 million of the contract. Who knows?
Hey, listen. Mel Kiper knows what he's doing, right? I mean, he's a college guy, but he knows quarterbacks. He thinks that Jones is a good quarterback. Not an elite quarterback, but a good quarterback. If you've got a general manager out there of like mind, and the Giants are willing to eat some of that salary, all right, you know, I'll take Daniel Jones for $20 million. You know, and maybe that's something that a general manager would be willing to do.
Let's go to DJ in North Carolina. DJ.
Hey, guys. I think that with this whole Russell Wilson thing happening, I think the Giants have a plan, and you just hit it on the nail on the head with them trying to trade Jones. I think they're going to trade him, maybe get a second-round pick.
I don't think you can get a second for him, DJ.
What?
Not if he doesn't play.
They're not?
If a team is willing to – it's all according to how much money the team is willing to eat. So if the team said, I'll take up 20%, the Giants would probably take a seventh round pick, a sixth round pick. They're not getting a second round. There's questions whether or not, you know, the Bears could get a second rounder for Justin Fields, who was a much better acquisition than Daniel Jones. So
yeah,
I can see them making a trade by a second round pick. I mean, they should carry Joe Shane to Canton. If he got a second-round pick for Daniel Jones.
That would be amazing. Now, if he was playing and playing well and healthy, but the Giants weren't winning and at the deadline they wanted the deal, maybe he'd have a chance to get something better. But even then, a second-round pick would be a leap.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, it's always weird because you never feel like you're getting the value for a quarterback who's like half decent. But that's just when you want to get rid of a quarterback, everybody knows you want to get rid of that quarterback.
Right. Everybody in the world will know it. Hey, it's time for Inside the Numbers, brought to you by Eisner Amper. Russell Wilson is one of 14 quarterbacks in NFL history with at least 300 touchdown passes. Now, when he suits up for his next team, will it be the Giants? He'll join Brett Favre as the only quarterbacks in that group to play for three or more teams in their career. That's Inside the Numbers, brought to you by Eisner Amper, a leading business advisory firm helping clients create a winning game plan to transform knowledge into action for your business. Check out Eisner Amper Solutions Insight Resources at EisnerAmper.com/solutions.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Now, guys, tomorrow the MLS season gets underway for the Red Bulls at home against Dallas. So like they did last year, they sent me a bunch of swag. I'll bring it in on Monday when I see you guys. Nice black hat, nice red hat, nice tan hat. Marco Look wants the red hat. And last year we got jelly donuts. Now we got a nice, I'm not sure if Yes is going to be able to see that, a nice, looks like a red velvet cake.
What? Kind of amazing, 9th, Peter, you know?
Red Bulls Arena.
It's like that you and I don't do the show.
Well, Sammy likes me.
No, Sammy likes me. I know Sammy Steinlike, too. Well, I mean, what's going on?
Why did he reach out to me, I ask you?
I don't know. Does he not have my address? I'm a little... Well, put back. I really am.
Because obviously they wanted the pop for the day before.
Right.
And on Fridays, full disclosure, we work from home. And I'm a lot closer to their offices than you are. And maybe it was just a case of logistics.
It's an awful look.
Well, no, it's only an awful look because you want some delicious red velvet cake and a hat. Which
no,
I'm going to give you on Monday.
No, I don't need the hat. The red velvet cake is something.
No, the
I'm
cake is
about.
The thing. That's the thing.
Right, so
I'm
that's sure what it is for you, right, Peter?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm good on hats. I have plenty of hats. But a red velvet cake. I mean,
you
that's
don't
something.
Think the cake will keep?
No. First of all, red velvet it's got cream cheese in it. Not going to keep. And if you use the same thing that you did with the chicken, you'll leave it out. It'll go sour.
This is just a case that I'm getting a little love and you're not.
Yeah, that's it, right,
no,
Peter?
This is how we feel, Peter, when Chris Kreider throws his sweater at Michael.
But I asked for that, so you guys didn't ask for it, so you shouldn't have felt bad at all.
This is when, you know, teams send, you know, Michael a jersey or a hat and just completely ignore
that,
when,
it. Never
when
happens. If I get jerseys, you get jerseys.
When
you know
he
that.
Gets, wow. Peter, when he gets invited to things and then we get a guilt invite like 2 weeks later, this is how we feel when those things happen.
All right, good. Everybody enjoy the Red Bulls game.
Well, I think that was the point. I think
exactly.
Shut up, Sammy.
We still support the Red Bulls. Michael and I just want some Red Vel. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What's so bad about Red Vel coming our way?
Well, I've got it.
Yeah, I know.
I finally have something that you don't on the show.
Therein lies the rub, isn't it?
You get the name on the show. You get the name on the show. I get the red velvet cake. Fair trade.
You know what? It's not a bad trade for Mike when you think about it.
Let's go to Ace in Brooklyn. Ace.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. Good. You?
I'm good. I'm good. Love the show. I just wanted to say, I think if we could get Russell Wilson, that would be a good thing. Like, I would definitely support it. Don't think he really has much left in the tank, but he would be a good quarterback. But I do think where his highest value would be is giving you guys great drops for the show, because I could just see it now. Oh, yeah. Hey, New York.
Hey, you on
the Ace, it's funny. It's like you were in on our meeting. Peter said this. Yeah. I mean, it would be gold for
I'm begging. There's nothing. You know what? I could lose Aaron Rodgers and take Russell Wilson. I mean, this Russell Wilson, to have him in the market for a full season would be tremendous content.
And also,
I'm rooting for it.
I would push back on Ace. He's not over the hill. I mean, last year was not a great year, and it's better than any year the Giants have had. What did you say, Donnie? Threw for 2,600 yards?
26 and I know, I think it was 26 and 6.
26 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. I believe like high 3,000. I'll double check.
Yeah, I mean that,
they would
take
that
it.
In a New York minute.
Yeah. It's better than anything that Daniel Jones did to get a $160 million contract.
He threw for 3,000 yards, like 3,070 was. 26 and 8. You're going to take that. And here's the thing that Jordan Ronan said, is that they're not building around Daniel Jones. Well, you're not going to build around Russell Wilson either, but I'd rather have Russell Wilson for a year and those stats than
a passer rating of 98. Take it.
And listen, they were better in the second half of the year, because I think the coaching finally started to kick in, and they were better. They were competing for a playoff spot at the end of the season. I don't know, he's definitely on the back nine, and I like Daniel Jones, but the fact is that I don't know if Daniel Jones is going to be able to stay healthy. And you brought up the worst-case scenario. He goes out there, injures his neck again, and now you're stuck because you can't cut him without taking a major, major problem with the
And
salary.
I think that's what they're thinking, guys. Yeah. I really do. Because, it's a contract that the Giants could get out of, but it guards him for injury. Now, I don't think the other $80 million is not guaranteed, but they would be losing money. They'd have to be paying him money if he was injured in the field of play. I don't think they want him to take the field at all. At all.
You know what? It sounds like... Hey, listen, they inquired, right? So was it one of those, I make calls, I inquire on everybody. I kick the tires on everybody.
You don't have them come to Jersey for everybody.
No, but and now
they're not having Kirk Cousins come to Jersey.
Now you're Russell Wilson. Do you want to play here? Do you want to play in Pittsburgh? Do you want to play in Vegas? Now, if his wife has a say, I would think New York would be in play. But if he wants to win now, I guess Pittsburgh would be the place for him to go. Good
coach.
But
his wife is in the entertainment industry, so to me it would be either Vegas or New York.
I know, but if it's for a year, Pittsburgh's got an airport.
Yeah, people overstate that, I think, sometimes.
No, but
great town, by the way.
Russell Wilson's brand and his wife's brand, it's not more enticing to be in New York. I love Pittsburgh. I'm not knocking Pittsburgh people. It's a great town.
No, I like it too.
It's not New York.
Well, if you are somebody that wants to work, you know, in Hollywood, or you want to be on television or music, and that's not the place to be necessarily. But if Russell Wilson is a strict football decision, I would think Pittsburgh would have the inside track.
Let's go to Ken in Connecticut. Ken.
Hi, Ken.
Hey, so minute 40, first time I heard Peter's voice. I'm glad he's there.
He's been a major contributor.
You're a segment late. I was already in the whole last segment. I get it.
I know. That was 16 minutes ago. I know.
I mean, you know what? Let me defend Peter, because he always says I don't defend him.
Please.
Peter, okay, knows his strengths. So he's not going to throw an 86-mile-an-hour fastball in a hockey discussion.
Bob, but here's
he's
going to
come with 97, 98 in football.
But this was a hockey discussion, but it was also about a win now or hold on to prospects. That could apply to any sport.
I
Peter could have contributed.
I don't have anything extra to offer. You already have one hockey novice talking. No offense, Michael. You need me to jump in also and go and hear from another stooge who doesn't know anything.
See, don't devalue. I don't devalue.
Can I? Can you know? I might be a novice, but I thought I brought up some good points.
I thought it was a really good story.
No, here's the thing. I'm a first time, long time, and Michael, honestly, it's an honor to talk to you. You are my favorite announcer of all time. I don't slurp. Okay. It's just truth.
That's just what it is. Thank you very much.
But. It's funny, I never thought I'd have a hockey question in my life, but Don, this one's for you. So, talking about the Rangers before, and I don't follow hockey really at all, but how easy is it to replace a farm system? Say if you're going to lose your first round pick or like a top five prospect. Because if the answer is like somewhat so, then what are the Rangers doing not going all in for this year?
Well, but basically, the replenishing is the same way it would be in baseball or basketball, is to either trade to get higher picks, which is very difficult to do, or draft well. And if the Rangers believe that they're going to be a contender every year, that means you're drafting north of 20 every single year. And they've got guys that they've been able to pick up that they believe in that are going to be stars in this league. Now, to replenish them, now you're to replenish them hoping that you can catch a great player drafting 26th overall. 27th overall, or then making a deal to get a high draft pick, which is not what the Rangers are thinking about when you're trying to win a cup. So the idea is to hang on to the prospects. Michael, it's hard to rebuild a farm system. It doesn't matter what sport it is, especially if you're a contender. It's easy to rebuild a farm system when you stink, but when you're good, and you're good every year, and you're drafting north of 25 every year, Michael, then it's very difficult to build a farm system.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.